previously. McDonald's didn't offer all-day breakfast.
What's next? Oakland's playing New York, somebody, I don't know which one. Who you taking in this one, MJD?
The Jags.
They're not. All right, whatever, that's fine. Ike, who you got?
You said Detroit, right?
Fix it in editing. Who cares?
Until the gates to a new world were opened.
Oh, all right, it's time for a game pick. Real quick. Packers, Broncos, who you got?
Broncos.
You're both right. Let's eat, everybody! Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, presented as always by McDonald's All Day Breakfast. I'm loving it. Who wouldn't love it? I don't know who couldn't love the freedom to eat breakfast when you choose. Let's say hello to everybody here in Studio 66. We are chock full here of some colleagues that you may watch in the mornings, Monday through Friday, on NFL HQ, on NFL Network. First of all, let's say hello to our returning pal here. He brought some friends along with him. He is our resident Dallas Cowboys fan. You read his work on NFL.com, the power rankings, the picks, so on and so forth. It's Elliot Harrison. What's the poop, fella?
What's up, man? You guys got all changed and all comfy. I'm still in the same sweaty pits. Button-down shirt and blazer. I guess I didn't have to throw the sweaty pits out.
Yeah, that was a little too.
It's swampy. It's more swampy.
You kind of got undressed.
The bad breath that we have to deal with.
Yeah, you got the, you kind of got undressed. You got three buttons unbuttoned. It looks like on your button.
You always tell me how much you like the man.
I'm all man. Yeah. I show what I have to the ladies. They love it. They love it.
Hey, I'm a handsome man. What can I do? Hey, seated to my immediate left now, one of your colleagues. From NFL HQ, she is a SoCal resident, born and raised, and the host of HQ, Erin Coscarelli. How are you? Welcome to the show.
You know, I have a confession. We were talking about McDonald's. You know, I crushed two sausage egg McMuffins 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Two, not one. I had two of those. So it actually made me dance kind of like.
A sausage egg McMuffin? Is that where they put the egg on top of the
I think we have to, you know what? I think we have the makings of an egg McMuffin off between you and one Maurice Jones-Drew, as you may have seen on the video.
I mean, they say
amazing.
Sometimes two is better than one. I mean, so
that's
why not?
I love it.
That's what Ike says.
Right?
MJD. There was a bounty of
I mean, like two picks in a game.
Two egg McMuffins.
What?
Personally, I like two hash browns.
I'm not a hash brown person.
Oh, the hash browns are very good. Say hello. You hear his voice already. He is a Penn State alumnus.
Yes.
I remember watching him vault over the Pitt offensive line.
Can you rephrase that? He is the...
The alumnus.
Thank you.
The chief.
Outside of Jack Ham and Franco.
Oh, look. See, and Liddell. He's talking
Mitchell.
My language.
Liddell Mitchell. Good grief.
It is. You watched him play in the NFL for many moons. Now you watch him on HQ as well. LeVar Arrington. What's the poop with you, fella?
Oh, man, I'm feeling really good. Happy to be here. I'm poised to give you guys a good performance on your show.
Well, listen, I hope as a Pittsburgh native that it will inspire our favorite football team, LeVar, the Pittsburgh Steelers, to a victory.
I'm thinking maybe we'll do so well that McDonald's will do what they do in Pittsburgh, which is name a sandwich after us.
Very interesting stuff. Wow. Yeah, I love it. Right. Alderdice alumnus as well, or the Alderdice alumnus.
You're the Alderdice. I'm the North Hills.
You're North Hills.
I'm the North Hills.
I thought you were Dice for some reason.
No, I'm not a Dice.
All right, coming up, as you can see, those of us watching on video.
We can just leave.
We are going to see Football Baby, the baby who picks football games. He is now 48-17 lifetime. He's on a hot streak again this year. The Red Challenge Flag Pick segment, the first ever three-way action we'll have on the Red Challenge Flag Pick segment. Kibitz with us, hashtag DDFP. Hit us up on Twitter. We love hearing from you. And, of course, to the audio listener, shout out. Thanks for listening on iTunes, Stitcher, or otherwise. We continue to work the kinks out as we try to balance video with audio, fits and starts, but we appreciate those of you who are hanging with us, consuming it however you want on YouTube, NFL.com, NFL Now, like I say, Stitcher, iTunes,
have you seen Football Baby?
No.
You'll see him momentarily.
This is the first I've heard of it.
Let's talk a little something with LeVar, who is joining us for the first time. Something I wanted to talk with you about is Cam Chancellor, back in the playoffs last year, you may recall, not once but twice, vaulted the Carolina line of scrimmage to try and block Graham Gano's kicks there. Mm. And now Troy Polamalu did some of that. We've seen Jamie Collins of the New England Patriots do it here. Here's by the way, Cam Chancellor, the thing about that, it seems superhuman that he vaults the line of scrimmage twice in a row, but how athletic is he? He never touches the ball. Either one. Hey, fella, I thought you were athletically gifted. Block the ball, But anyway, LeVar.
It's easy. All for show.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you put on a great show, but you didn't do anything, actually.
At least finish it.
Now, LeVar Arrington, do you feel that this needs to once and for all, whenever that happens, that they need to call it the LeVar leap?
I'm not that stuck on myself. Mm-hmm. I think that everything has origins, and sometimes the origin may get lost in translation of how many times it's been done. So I don't have a problem when people reference Troy Polamalu doing it or somebody else.
Wrong answer. Don't be modest. Listen, you're his colleagues on the show. You have to perpetuate. If he's going to play the modest angle, you guys have to push this. The LeVar leap every time they do it.
Listen, LeVar is called all mammal for a reason. That's right. The man is legit, okay? I mean, every time he's on set, he like polarizes everybody because he's just gigantic.
If I become a mammalton,
you're like
months?
You're a baby now.
You're getting there.
I'm getting there?
Yes, you are.
How many times have you done the LeVar leap? Do you know? Can you even count?
Maybe four times.
And you've connected with the ball every time?
I was doing it since high school, as a matter of fact. I can remember the first time I did it was against Seneca Valley, and that would have been my senior year in high school. I did it three times in high school. I did it once in college. So
did you play in the game when Gateway upset North Hills 7-6? I attended that one. That's why I bring that
up. You're older than me.
By a wide margin.
I look old.
Wide right.
As old as that game.
And I have a youthful look about me.
Yes, yes, you do.
Youthful my energy. Stage.
Yes.
Absolutely.
LeVar, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is, I mentioned it to you a few days back, your hair. I always wonder about if there's a code of ethics with having long hair on the football field. It occurs to me every time I see anybody running around with it, especially if they handle the football. What are the rules on tackling a guy by his hair?
Okay, here's LeVar's rules of hair pulling. I'm allowed to pull yours when I'm trying to make a play, but you're not allowed to pull mine.
Mm. Ah,
that makes sense, though. Listen, I think that there's some logic to that.
I know that that's a one-way street, and I get that. Now, listen, my hair was not this long when I was playing. For those you guys may want to see what it looks like here. Let me pull.
It's prodigious.
Here, I'll pull one out so I can put it on the table. How about that? And then we can.
Wow.
It's pretty long, so it's grabbable, right?
Yeah.
I would not want somebody to pull my hair if I was a ball carrier. I would say there's a whole lot of other places you could try to make contact with me. But in the spirit of the game, your hair is considered to be a part of your uniform.
I would do it for sure. I mean, wouldn't you? Like Ricky Williams once got tackled by the hair, and he had the temerity to complain. Like that was Bush. Don't let your hair hang out of the back of your head, ball carrier.
The one thing I can't seem to understand, maybe you can help me understand since you've got the facial hair, is this beard thing that's going on. Like Weddle has it, Fitzpatrick has it. I mean, first of all, the chin strap alone would seem like
uncomfortable,
not really conducive to
the sport. That's because Kyle Orton's always been ahead of the curve with everything.
I think where it started among professional athletes, it started with the hockey players. They started to get a lot of attention for having the playoff beards, and I think all the other athletes wanted a piece of that action.
You know what? When you guys were talking about tackling by the hair, the first guy I can remember getting tackled by his hair.
Troy Polamalu.
Yeah,
let's show that. I think we have that for the video consumers here. Let's show that play. Yes, in fact, was that your teammate Larry Johnson at Penn State?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was my teammate.
We're taking a look at it in Heinz Field. Polamalu running free after picking the ball off. And Larry Johnson reaches out and tackles him by the hair. The dirty thing about that tackle is he held on a lot longer than he had to.
Then he came up. Yeah.
I mean, that's got to hurt, right, guys?
You do know that's Ike Taylor that's pushing on him after the play. I'm sure you'll enjoy that. That's Ike. That's
Lamar, do you even feel that, though? I mean, you're in such an adrenaline.
I'm sure he felt that. he certainly felt that. Look, and then he can't. Here's the thing, right? Like, that right there, like, Troy Polamalu is a better man than me.
Because you
would
have done what?
I would have finished the game, but we would have had to meet after the game. Like, as soon as that game hit 4-0, I'm going right after Larry Johnson. You know, interesting fact, I don't know it to be 100% true, but they say that Troy got his hair insured for something like $5 million.
That is,
like,
in
that
fact
after,
true.
Right?
Yes, by Head and Shoulders. Yes.
Oh, really?
Amazing.
They did.
Yes.
Well,
the great sponsor,
I would have been like,
Shekker.
Pull this dang thing
$5
out.
$5 million.
I'm going to collect $5 million. Pull my hair!
Outrageous.
He was making a lot of money.
He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that whole little hair.
Oh, come up? Yeah. You know, he came up with it like it was going to still
LeVar,
be in his hand.
LeVar and I park our cars in the same garage on the subject because I just this morning did my usual bit when trying to merge from the 101 onto the 405 where I bypass everybody in a long line about a half mile long. I bypass everybody and go right to the front of the merge.
Oh, I do that.
And people get angry. Does that make me a bad person? I always, when somebody does that to me, I am outraged.
Oh, me too. I get so mad. What, how dare you cut me in line? I have been so respectful and waited, and then I do it.
But then
time.
When the people honk at me, it's like, settle down, granny.
You gotta let me over. Yeah. That's the funny thing is you gotta let them over too. So it's like kind of like how you're feeling that day. Do I want to get over and do that? Or
Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I try to go so fast I don't let them in, and then I feel really good about myself. I'm like, sorry.
Is your Jetta, does it, like, how fast does it accelerate?
It doesn't go very fast, but I'm a jerk.
She drives a Benz, man.
No.
Oh, I thought it was
that's a
Jetta.
Baller. That's not
I'm just trying to follow in LeVar's footsteps, that's all.
Now let's talk about, and again, we'll get to all the picks in just a little bit here as we sit on the cusp of week 8 Sunday football action. Let's talk about, as we do every week, who are you loving? I'm going to start with ladies first. Aaron Coscarelli, who are you loving?
Respect. You know what? Dan Campbell. I heard that players are willing to go through a brick wall for the man. I mean, he's certainly done his job for the team. He's reinvigorated it. He's refreshed it. He's gotten that run game going. I got to like Dan Campbell and what he's doing. And I want to ask you guys this question. If indeed he beats the Patriots, is this guy up for permanent head coach? I mean, does he deserve it then at this point to be not just the interim coach, maybe the head coach? For the rest of the way and perhaps in the future.
I think if they're competitive in New England, he deserves it. I mean, you know, it's so hard to find that guy. And if you find a guy that's having some success and the players want to play for him, and he already kind of knows, there's culture with every single team. So you got a guy that's already been in the building. He's already been around the team. He knows the management. He knows the scouting department. You hire a new guy. You don't just hire a new guy, right? Sure. You hire staff. Sometimes scouting department gets changed. Why have all that upheaval if you're having some success? That said, if they lose 42-17 at New England, then I'm not thinking that way because I don't want to say they've played two cupcakes, but
they've played two cupcakes.
Texans and the Titans. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. I think if he wins, that they should seriously consider it because you're building something. I mean, that's the whole premise of bringing in the right guy, right? Mm-hmm. Is to build something. So if he's able to get that win, you know, you're 3 games in.
The thing with, as Dan Campbell has discussed himself, he's not getting into the positional rooms as much. It's sort of like the Herm Edwards effect that he sort of, it seemed to me, floats from room to room and gets in there and rah-rahs a little bit and then leaves the X's and O's to his coordinators.
You're only as good as your assistant coaches. The head coach is the GM of the entire group, right? So you bring them together. Here's our list of things to do. Here are our goals. How do you apply? How do you apply? You have to be able to delegate the duties and the responsibilities if you're going to have success as a head coach. You can't try to be everything to everyone and be a successful head coach.
Well, and I think what's interesting is he's 39. He's the youngest coach right now in the NFL. And I want to say maybe not even 5 years ago, wasn't he the intern? Wasn't he a coaching intern? He wasn't really that much involved in the coaching aspect. And just to see how far he's come.
I thought he was a WWE bad guy or something like that. That's how he looks. I love the dip.
He looks like...
I'm all for any coach that cuts a different figure than the rest of the coaches. Bum Phillips. I still pine for the days of Bum out there in his
cowboy hat,
in his 10-gallon hat, and his cowboy boots and everything else. We need more guys.
The best though, man, is when they played at Pittsburgh and it was raining in the championship, and he had the wrap around the cowboy hat so it didn't get wet.
But he wouldn't wear it under a dome because his mama taught him. You know, you don't do that indoors. God's watching. All right, Elliot Harrison, who are you loving?
I'm loving the Packers defense, man. I just think that we talk about Aaron Rodgers all the time.
Undercovered, that's right. Yeah. You're right.
When they went to the Super Bowl and won in 2010, Dom Capers had that defense playing ball, and that's the difference this year as well. If you recall, in 2011, Dave, they started out like 11-0. They lost in Kansas City. They ended up losing the playoffs to the Giants because the Giants played defense. Mm-hmm. You can't win in January if you can't at least run the ball viably. You don't have to be a top five running team. But you got to be able to run the ball in spots, and you've got to have a decent defense. And the Packers have that now. And you know what? Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to do as much, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and we'll see if Eddie Lacy can turn it around there. But you're absolutely right, and that should have been that 15-1 Packers team should have been. I talked about it on the Sheck Report this week. We need our generation. You know, in the 70s, we got the two best. The Steelers and Cowboys played each other a couple of times. The 80s, we got to see the Niners and the Broncos. And in the 90s, we saw the Cowboys and Bills. Now we need to see, it's a quarterback league. We need to see Rodgers v. Brady. We got to settle this one once and for all. Who are you loving, LeVar?
I'm loving Carolina.
You know,
you look at what Cam Newton has been able to do. And we're talking about Aaron Rodgers all the time. Look at what Cam Newton has been able to do with less and have that type of success. And also the defense. You know, they're playing so well together as a team. I think that, I mean, for them to be undefeated after losing Kelvin Benjamin, you know, some of the games they lost, Luke Kuechly, and for them to still maintain the trajectory that they've had this season, I think that they have had the most impressive season so far of any teams.
Do you think this is hyperbolic for me to say, EH has heard me say this, now I'll throw it at you, Aaron, and LeVar, it's paradoxical. I think Aaron Rodgers goes down. If he wins one more ring, he will be known as the greatest quarterback of all time. Then again, Tom Brady is the reigning holder of that crown.
Just so you know, Tom Brady is going another 10 years.
That's what I've heard.
So you know, you can't go back to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania after making those statements. But I just thought I'd say that on camera. So
I hear you,
just
man.
Just to put it in proper perspective.
Any Steelers fans know it's not comfortable to admit this. I don't like saying it, but Tom Brady happens to own the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But what about Ringgold's? What about Ringgold's finest? You know, what? Come on, man. Do your history now.
One brags more on the names Namath, Marino.
Come on, go one more.
Unitas, Montana.
There you go.
Hey, Jim Kelly. Hey, look there. If you're watching the show, you can see in the background there a young Dave Damashek taking a picture upon the knee of 18-year-old Danny Marino at Pitt. That's right.
Well, I like that.
I believe.
I think Danny Marino is a fine quarterback and a fine man. But when you talk about greatest quarterback of all time, there's no way you can start the conversation without having Joe Montana lead it off.
I agree. I am so on board with that. And you know what? We had him on HQ a couple weeks ago. What was that like? I mean, being from where you are to sit with him and
it's just, you know, what's cool about that is him being from West PA. I actually, in this life, have my name mentioned in the same sentence as Joe Montana.
That's
you know,
cool.
When they say greatest football players to ever come from a place, they say my name That's with Joe great. Montana's name.
LeVar, you're perfect cool. to do this. But in the offseason, let's, as they say in show business, put a pin in that one. We in the offseason need to get together. I love doing regional teams, putting together the best teams by cities.
Love to do that.
It's really fun. We did that a couple years ago. That would be a good one. Sure. Put together the all-Pittsburgh team for all of time.
We have a good all-Pittsburgh team.
Who would be the starting QB? You go Montana. I would have to give some serious thought to go in Marino. But the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers now hails from the state of Ohio. That's
why
I'm
almost like Pittsburgh.
I suppose. Yeah, that's why I'm loving.
Because they can't win anything.
Bengals, Steelers, Heinz Field. Potentially the AFC North crown hangs in the balance here. If the Bengals win this one, it's going to be awfully hard for Pittsburgh or the other couple. Well, the other couple of teams, forget them, to get caught up here. What I'm not loving is LeVar, and you kind of touched on it there. It's ironic and sad for the people of Ohio that they are divided by that border, and on their side they have bum football.
But they have Ohio State.
All right, but you know, I'm talking pro football.
It's really not, because if you live in Youngstown or Cincinnati or Cleveland, you're not saying, oh, I love Columbus, Ohio. Like, it's not the same.
That's right.
But that's all you have.
Well, listen, here's the thing. We'll see what the Steelers can do with a hobbled Big Ben Roethlisberger this weekend. Mm. Yeah, I also love his John Wayne bit, too. The head coach has already announced you're starting the game, and Roethlisberger's like, I don't know. I don't know if I can go. I don't know, but I think magically he'll be able to go come Sunday morning. But either way, the thing that I feel sad for I feel bad that those people, they have the Hall of Fame, but of course Pittsburgh has all the Lombardi trophies. Mm. The only thing Ohio has going for it is that Ohio River, the mighty Ohio, that created
Even Pittsburgh owns the Ohio River. Where does the Ohio
Right, that is right, Arrington. All their commerce, their only relevance is owed to having the mighty Ohio. But where does it begin? Where is it formed? Yes. The Allegheny and Monongahela converge to form the Ohio. I say it gets renamed the Steel Curtain River, Lemieux River, the Mean Joe River.
Oh, wow.
The Arrington River.
We watch football being picks now.
I just wanted
We just went throwback.
Yeah. I kind of like that. All but that's why Ohio is like Pennsylvania. It's like
Pittsburgh. Football baby now.
Except without the Lombardi Trophy.
Maybe we should name it the Pittsburgh River. How about that?
Good with me. Ohio River. How dare you steal our river?
That's ridiculous.
Black Tiger.
It's an album. We had to give them something, right?
We took Roethlisberger and Noel. They took our river. I'll call it even, guess. All right, let's take another look here. Oh, I have some picks here for you. I got a visit. I was trying to get through my picks, but I was paid a visit by me. Future Dave, take a look.
Oh, wow.
Damashek, Damashek, David, Damashek.
Great work, Daves. Love both of you guys. All right, now it's time for very important stuff. Yes, the moment is drawing ever closer where we will issue our red challenge flag picks for week 8, and we will tell you who's going to win the biggest games here. But of course, we're just amateurs compared to the true master here. 17 and 5, I think, on the year. He's now 48 and 17 lifetime, something like that. Remarkable. I'm speaking, of course, of football baby, the baby who picks football games. Let's see what he thinks about this week.
Football baby. The baby who picks football games.
Yes, happy Halloween, everybody. And again, to our audio listeners, for some of these things, you can go on YouTube or NFL.com and watch and see what football baby
football
thinks about
baby.
These games.
Quite the legend.
Choose.
So passionate, brought baby to tears. Well, so serious about that.
You know what's the weirdest thing?
What was the Packer there, though? I said the Broncos Packers. What was your...
It was a dog, but he was wearing a Packers onesie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what happened there. But yeah, like I say, he's 48. I think he's 48 and 17 lifetime, which is, I mean, by any measure, that's pretty good.
Successful.
The craziest thing of all about football baby is that there are cynics. You know, everybody has to be an online cynic, vapid cynics.
What's a baby? No.
I get hit up with like, well, clearly you rig that. Rig? How could I rig it? We just showed you those in front of the games. Well because they're your picks. They're your picks, really. No. My picks disagree with his all the time.
Not much credit, huh?
I got to call you on one thing. I mean, the Seahawk was clearly a lot cuter than your little Tony Dorsett doll. I mean, of course,
And the Bronco horse.
Of course he's going to grab the Seahawk.
I would take the Bronco horse, no matter what.
I like it when you use the My Little Pony for Colts. So that's strong. That's a strong move.
Everyone's a critic, but you can't argue with the results there. All right, now it's our turn, everybody. Yes, at long last, it is time for the Red Challenge Flag Pick segment.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
I always like it better when Elliot sings it. He won my heart with his a cappella version. Go ahead and do it.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
All right, now I'm in the mood. Now I'm ready.
I felt like David Bowie was in the room.
Yeah.
I felt like I needed to get a guitar. And
I appreciate that,
machine.
Clark.
I'm like Ziggy Stardust. All right, so let's get into it here. The rules are very simple, or actually they're a little overcomplicated for picking games. One of you will tell me who you think is going to win just by naming the team. Now, this is our first three-way action here. You'll have two people who have the option of throwing the red challenge flag to challenge that picks. To start us off, Elliot, show us how it's done. Packers, Broncos, choose.
I'm taking the Packers.
Oh, a red challenge flag flying already from the direction of LeVar Arrington. Coscarelli pockets hers. Arrington, why are you saying the Broncos?
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the Broncos here because, for one, Peyton Manning's got a little bit of time to rest himself. He went back, checked out the Tennessee Volunteers. They lost a big game, I think, against Alabama. He's going to want to avenge them and sing some Rocky Top. He's going to come in ready to play, and that defense, they're going to be ready
to play. I kind of buy that. If you're ever going to see 18 play as close to what we associate with number 18.
Come right on out of a bye week.
Right, coming out of the bye, because after this, I hate to be a curmudgeon about it, but listen, even Jeff Saturday, I saw him earlier in the week acknowledging, yes, clearly the arm strength is gone for Peyton, and I don't know if anybody's calling him a hater. Of course, I always get called a hater when I acknowledge the reality of it.
They're playing in the altitude as well.
That's a good point.
They got to go to Denver.
But when I have a better arm than Peyton Manning, and I have a great arm, but probably not as good as a pro player, you should be concerned. I'm a little nervous, so I'm going with Elliot. Not throwing the challenge flag.
Coscarelli, you're on record, though. You're going Packers.
I don't know that I like that trend. I don't want that trend. I felt a little abandoned by you.
Sorry about that, LeVar, but I have no faith in Peyton Manning. That running game is a little
You're supposed to have faith in me and Football Baby.
I'll need proof of this arm strength. Throw a red challenge flag when you're ready to prove it.
Take that Green Bay off of LeVar. LeVar went with the Broncos.
You got it. It's there.
Where is it?
It's there. It's
okay. Oh, okay. All right. Good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I see it.
Spell your name right.
As you see, Damashek goes Packers, or I am going Packers because Rodgers also coming off a bye. And that defense, I'm with Elliot. I think the defense, I mean, you know, listen.
It's Denver's all Green Bay groupies.
It's going to be a good game, though. Battle the undefeated. And I think it's going to be a fun game to watch no matter what. But
fantasy enthusiasts, Elliot, correct me if you disagree here, but I think now we're going to start to see, just like we did in 2014, Eddie Lacy's going to look different now the rest of the season. I bet you he gets it going. He'll be another factor.
I hope you're right.
But I also point to the defense, like you say. I think it's just not something people are really
Starks
talking about.
I think Starks is poised to probably have a better game than Lacy at this point. He's playing well right now. Right that hot hand.
Mm-hmm. The guy who's been quiet has been Randall Cobb. You know, when Jordy Nelson went down, everyone thought he was going to be the man. Randall Cobb hasn't done jack. I think he's playing with a bum shoulder. I'm sitting him this week.
James Jones, same thing, you thinking?
They're I would play James Jones.
Down. They're going to lock him down.
You think they're going to lock him down?
Lock him down.
This will be interesting.
Is that another challenge flag you're throwing at EH?
Nope.
Okay.
There won't be enough.
Next game, Aaron Coscarelli, I'll start with you. Raiders I'm hosting so glad. The Jets. How yeah. say you?
I'm really glad that you guys hold the flag. Are you just pretending to throw it because you're mad at me right now? That's fine. I'm going Raiders. I love the car.
All you have to do is say your team name, and now she gets pelted with red challenge flags from everywhere.
What? Okay.
Elliot Harrison, I'll start with you. Why are you
I said Raiders, and I hold by my
choice.
We have
seen Amari Cooper tear it up. He is going to face the biggest challenge he's ever faced in his athletic life this weekend, which means they're going to have to lean on Latavius Murray. That Jets front's number one run defense in the league, man. It's no joke. Give me the Jets.
Not only the pressure from that defensive front, but as you mentioned, that secondary, it's going to be difficult, and they're going to have to be able to read those defenses that are being dialed up by such, you know, they're masterful and bowls and how they really, really bring those different schemes to blitz. But, hey, we're showing the offense because of that guy right there, number 15. He has quietly been having a pretty, pretty productive year. And I think he's going to be poised to kind of rectify what he may feel or some may feel was a mishap on his behalf in last week's game.
They
were about to beat the Patriots in Gillette Stadium. How
and
can
then
you, think
you drop the ball.
Don't you think
drop the ball, literally dropping
well,
the ball.
Well, also he gets the procedure penalty as time expires. Yeah, I thought that, you know what, I don't want to be too lax about it, but really, shouldn't the official have eaten that flag? It was really close enough. Let them run the play.
Let them run the play. Why not?
The Raiders.
I really did. I really, in the moment, I thought, that's, come on, that's Bush.
Do I get to throw flags at you guys when you're all wrong on the Raiders?
No, I also have the Raiders along with you there. You know what? I've learned, LeVar, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but a lot of guys I've been talking to point this out. I always thought that thing about traveling across the country. It's like, how big a deal is that? So you take a nap on the plane or you take a nap when you get to the hotel. Apparently, that's bigger than I consider
it to be. It's a big deal.
All right, the Jets now have coming off what was an important game to them, I'm sure, emotional loss to them.
Is there
a difference, flying over there.
Is there a difference between performing when we go on air and performing right now?
Yeah.
It's a big deal when your body clock has to do something different than what it usually does. I mean, you want to get your body acclimated as quickly as possible to that time change.
And I think the Raiders are coming off a huge win. I know it's just Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. They're not the strongest team defensively right now, but I think there's momentum with them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I think it's a newfound momentum that they haven't had in a really long time, so they're ready to prove people wrong.
I think they're feeling it right now. I agree with you. Yeah. And, yeah, I think that
this is a way more competitive than what they have been. And
this is a
Jack
playoff.
Del Rio.
This could lead to a playoff spot, to a wild card spot for one of these two teams here. And, of course, the Raiders are traveling to Pittsburgh in a couple of weeks.
You know, so
those are big games now all of a sudden for the Raiders, especially if they win this one.
We are poor corporate shills. You mentioned our time. We should mention when we're even on the air.
I did mention 7 to 9 Monday through Friday.
I didn't even think about it. I was like, duh.
Next up.
Hey, by the way, great uni matchup. I just got to point that out. Jets, Raiders. Come on, man.
Raiders, Jets.
Yes.
A wonderful one. Yes.
Amazing.
The Heidi Bowl. Yeah, it's really
good. I mean,
very classic uniform.
Yeah, it really is nice. AFL shootout. Although I don't think this one will be a shootout. Seahawks at the Cowboys. LeVar, how say you?
Oh, Seahawks. And I know they're going into Texas.
LeVar,
and listen,
please,
I know that.
Please, no, you say your
name. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Elliot,
Seattle.
Anyone want to throw
Seattle.
It?
Oh,
no.
Wow.
Oh, everyone's going
to
eat.
Okay. Yeah, I know better than that to go against the Seahawks with Matt Castle in and Des Bryant.
We can breeze through this one. I think we're all taking the Seahawks.
You know
I don't know, by the way, that the Seahawks are all the way back. I think that the Rams might beat them out for the playoffs, as a matter of fact.
It doesn't really matter for this week, though.
Right. I think that they will take care of business again.
Man? You know how good this weekend of football would be if Tony Romo was healthy? I mean, you look at some of the matchups we have, Packers, Green Bay, the Jets, Raiders is wonderful. Bengals, Steelers, you talk about Roethlisberger coming back. Mm. And if Romo was playing in this game with Dez, this would be the marquee game of the weekend, bar none. It would be. I mean, Seattle at Dallas, that's a huge game.
Sure. Yeah, you are
unfortunately,
correct.
Unfortunately, it's
and
not.
Didn't Dallas beat the Seahawks
in Seattle?
They did.
In Seattle.
Yeah,
took it to them.
Yep. Yep.
It's too bad.
We could have had that game.
That's too bad.
Romo, just stay healthy.
No, Romo. You know, Dez is going to be tired.
Had Dez's catch counted in the divisional round, that would have been your NFC title game.
I know. You know what the good thing that's come out of this, though, LeVar, is that people finally appreciate that Tony Romo is legit and a great player.
Sure,
I'll tell you what the good thing that came out of Dallas is going into this weekend's game is that you know that they have a hype leader that will have them all pumped up to play very hard in this game.
Yeah, you think Greg Hardy's going to pick another fight?
I didn't know that was I didn't know if that was being sardonic or not. I thought maybe that was a sincere.
That was sarcasm.
I
need to work with him enough.
All right, let's get to it.
You know when you're going there.
The banks of the Three Rivers, where the Pittsburgh River is formed when the
Allegheny Monongahela
converge. Bengals at Steelers. Elliot Harrison, I start with you.
Pittsburgh.
Red flags, here we go. Are they being thrown? Coscarelli and Arrington throw it.
Yeah.
And it makes me sad to say I, too, am throwing it. Ben Roethlisberger.
You are showered with red flags.
Ben Roethlisberger has an ugly track record in games returning from injury. He's going to be a little bit hobbled there. I think that, you know, the Bengals coming off of the bye have had 2 weeks to prep for this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listen, I hope I'm wrong. Arrington.
You I'll hope you. You're wrong.
Of course I do. I hope the Steelers
look
win.
At those highlights. The reality of it is Andy Dalton is truly transitioning into a matured, prolific passer in this game as a quarterback. They have so many weapons. They have you know,
Eifert.
Jones. They have Eifert.
Giovanni.
They have I mean, and
that a difference. A healthy Eifert makes such a difference.
They have
up the middle
so many players on that offense. But hey. their defense is physical up front. They, Geno Atkins and the rest of those group, those guys, Mike Johnson and all those guys. This is probably one of the most well-rounded teams from top to bottom, personnel-wise.
Oh, absolutely. I think they are the most talented team.
Possible.
The only question is number 14. The guy under center aside, they're the most talented roster. And, you know,
I think Dalt has matured enough where he's ready for these types of games.
Geno needs a new PR guy because there was a little surge in profile for him a couple of years ago before the knee injury. People started to acknowledge Geno Atkins. But if you watch the Bengals, he is one of the only guys who's really consistently getting a push. You see the other team center in the backfield all the time. I mean, that is, I mean, you talk about disrupting what an offense wants to do. Atkins is doing that game after game.
They're going to have their hands full with Lev Bell, man.
I mean,
if Roethlisberger's there, you're going to have to respect that. And okay, fine. You want to play six in the box against Pittsburgh? Have fun.
Yep.
Good luck with that.
Do you know where Pittsburgh's secondary is ranked? The bottom of the league.
Just that's the only problem. The
and yeah.
We
it's
just
the
saw
only problem. It's going to be a problem with Eifert, Giovanni, keeping that defense honest. So
you just saw a team run for 1 yard and still win a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's but what the Patriots do doesn't equal what any other team should try. They do it with voodoo.
I don't disagree with you on that. That's accurate. But all I'm saying is now in the information book in the binder that you had a team with one rushing yard win a game.
Yeah. The practical bad matchup to Aaron's point there is
against
with the secondary.
A good team.
Yep.
If the Steelers are predicated by necessity because they don't have the pieces at the back end, they are required to generate a pass rush against that offensive line, which people talk about the Cowboys. If this is 1A. This is the second best
Their
offensive line.
Their pass rush hasn't been what it's needed
right.
to be.
The Steelers are not going to be able to do much against Andy Dalton. He should have a little bit of time to pick them apart. And he's also got a little bit of Flacco to him now, which is to say, even when he makes mistakes, the worst thing you can be playing against is a QB who'll just keep on firing. And Dalton is, it seems like, has turned the corner in that regard. He can throw some bad picks. He just keeps on slinging. And that's what you want out of your QB. It's Elway-esque. Dare I say.
Oh.
I don't think he's as good. Remove that from the audio. Oh. I'm not comparing Andy Dalton to John Elway. I'm just saying that that resilience is what you want your QB. That's all I'm saying. That's the only thing they have in common. Last up.
All right.
Indy Colts, Carolina Panthers. Like I told Football Baby, the Colts are really in a tough spot here. They're playing essentially a black cat the day after Halloween. What chance do you possibly
bad
have
luck.
Here?
You don't want to mess with a black cat.
Coscarelli, how say you?
Listen,
when your
fan base is chanting for the backup quarterback in
Indy.
He's
40 and bald.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was bald when he was 25. Mm-hmm. Come on, it's not
good
fair.
Point. True. Yeah. Touche. I'm going.
That was his brother.
I think Football Baby said Panthers, and I could not agree with that legendary Football Baby more.
Wow. Anyone want to throw a red challenge flag here? Colts season isn't on the
line. I didn't need my red flag. I didn't even need my red flag.
Yeah. Go ahead, Elliot.
I'll throw it to myself.
I dare you.
Yeah.
Listen, Colts are, as I always, a recurring point that I make, and you'll hear me make it again now, is unless a team is hot garbage in the NFL,
hot garbage.
The more desperate team tends to win the game, unless they are a bum team. Now we will find out if the Colts are indeed a bum team.
So why don't you apply that to the Steelers? They don't beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati wins the AFC North, man. Done and done.
You're right. I should. Yeah, bitten by my own
The Colts snake. Are a bum team right now.
Yeah.
The best thing they have going for them is the division in which they play. And don't be surprised if the Jacksonville Jaguars end up stealing that division.
I think the best thing they could
then,
have.
If you look at what the Colts have coming up here, they have Pittsburgh. They have another game after this one and before Pittsburgh that's a rugged matchup too. The Colts could very easily be 3-6, 3-7. And if the Jags reel off a win or two there, they're going to be in first place in that terrible
division. Put Matt Hasselbeck back in.
Well, their game plan with Hasselbeck made sense. If you looked at what they did against Houston, man, they ran Frank Gore like 23 times. They were conservative in their play calls.
That's what I think you're going to see.
They did play action. Why not do that?
That's what they're going to do. I guarantee you that's what they're going to do.
Here's what I'll say. You just saw a whole bunch of highlights with Cam. That's all you need to know. The way that guy's playing right now.
That's what I started to get to.
Do you think Cam Newton's going to be Superman for Halloween? Or
I mean, he's Superman every day. You have to be someone different.
He should be Lex Luthor, right? LeVar, though, I started to ask you this before Elliot. I've asked it too, so I ask the rest of you guys. Cam Newton, to me, Aaron Rodgers is the all-timer, or maybe it's Tom Brady either way. But to me, right now, Cam Newton's the MVP of the league in spite of the numbers. Like you say, I mean, they're basically direct snapping it to him as though it's 1956. He just, every play, the ball's in his hands. He's running with it. He's throwing it. I haven't seen anything like that.
Listen, if the distinction belongs to a stat line, then you can't go with Cam. If the distinction truly means what it's truly meant to be,
sure.
Cam Newton is the
most
valuable
player. And
look
at what he's overcome, you know, the adversity. And to say that the Panthers haven't been able to achieve big things and take and have a test, I mean, you see them play without Kelvin Benjamin. They beat the Seahawks in Seattle, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's not easy to do. Exactly.
That's a first.
My concern with Cam, though, is when you're so vulnerable outside the pocket, I get nervous about injuries. And he's been susceptible before.
He's not, you know what? He's
Although
the one
terrible.
Guy from this generation. We talked about Colin Kaepernick, RG3, Andrew Luck, Ryan Tannehill. I'm forgetting a couple other names there. But from this generation of, wow, these guys are dual threats. They can burn you with the legs as easily as they can with the arm. All those guys have abandoned that and tried to become more pocket passers. Cam continues to play by his own rules because...
And it's working.
I mean, he really is, you know, he is... LeVar Arrington walks into a room and he cuts a figure. Cam Newton is the biggest guy on that team.
Yeah,
I mean,
when he walks
into a room, it is awe-inspiring.
He's eating all that yogurt. That's what it is.
There are the rest of my picks there for you. You see, I am taking the Falcons over the Bucks. I have to go with the Cardinals in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. The Rams, like I say, but this is the bugaboo. Watch out for this one. Jeff Fisher, this is the kind of game
his teams will lose.
Now, if they win this one, make that the cue that the 2015 Rams are a little bit different than their immediate predecessors. They're going to make a playoff run if they can handle. This is a game they should win. If they do, watch out for them. Saints, I think. They're quietly now creeping back into things as well.
Yes, I think
the Vikings, I really like that defense. I think they're going to pick off Cutler a couple times.
They're playing some football.
Ravens.
Tell them about my boy, Mr. Diggs, could be your rookie of the year,
dark horse. It's very true. But you know what? The Ravens and Chargers, you look at that
I'm
game.
I'm surprised by
how sad
Ravens.
That one is.
That's a sad. The mighty have fallen.
If I would have told you, hey, right in front of Halloween, ooh, Chargers, Ravens, ooh, maybe they'll bump that one up to Sunday night. That's such a juicy game.
No, that's not.
They might bump it over to Saturday.
They might cancel that last one.
They might play it at 1:30 a.m.
We're just going to say you guys won by flipping a coin.
Well, I know you say that, but the winner of that game is going to be right in the mix for the AFC South. I know you make jokes. That's not a joke. That division could be won by a 6-10 team.
The good news is Ryan Mallett doesn't have another chance to miss his team flight.
Oh,
so there you go.
I thought you put a clinic on here at DDFP.
He was putting on a clinic.
I got to tell you.
That's why he missed the plane.
He was too busy being outrageous. Yeah.
I got one little dark horse, though, MVP, before we get far away from that, before we wrap it up. If MVP is the most valuable player on a team that's doing well, I think Devontae Freeman deserves a little bit of credit, man. That guy is killing it. He is killing it for the Falcons. They would be nowheresville without him because Matt Ryan's not playing that well.
But is he really a dark horse? I feel like everybody's giving Devontae Freeman.
He was a running back by committee.
But he has the most rushing yards right now. I think everybody's giving him praise.
Well, you know, and you and I do so many fantasy segments that we talk about him all the time. Right. But I'm talking about just straight up MVP candidate. I don't think you'd hear anyone mention
him. I hear you, but the mitigating factor there is Julio on the field. Julio provides the distraction. In fact, I thought you might say Julio. So I thought you might say, you know, this is a little bit of a reach there. I thought you were going to say somebody like, I think for defensive player of the year, right now, what about Josh Norman?
For Carolina?
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
he's a baller.
He's a baller. I heard he's not the most humble guy.
I mean, he can't be, right?
Good for him, though, man. You got to have that attitude,
you don't
right?
get awards, you know, at that position. Well, I guess you could, but it doesn't matter.
All right.
Good for him, I guess.
Miscongeniality. Isn't that a word?
I would like for guys to be humble.
You know,
I agree.
You know who's congenial? This is a great transition for us. Stick around for just 1 second more here, gang. But thank you very much to all of you for coming in. Elliot, keep bringing your friends from HQ. I like them much better than I like you. This has been, you're a gateway. I'm going to regard you as the gateway.
You're the gateway clipper.
Yes.
That goes on the Monongahela, the Allegheny, and the Ohio.
Yes. But hang out for a second here. I say who's congenial. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, not just in show business, but on the face of the earth, is Dave Koechner. You know him from Anchorman and a million other things. He's got a new movie coming out, Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. And I got a chance to sit down with him. Here's our conversation. He's delightful.
Do-do-do-da-da-da-down-ba-da-boom-bam-bam-Dave.
Here we go, everybody. A big star from the world of show business. He is one of the stars of Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, the great and good Dave Koechner. How are you, fella?
I'm fantastic, Dave.
One of the nicest people I've ever met in the business.
Yeah, that's about to change.
Really?
Just for no reason.
All right, I'm ready to go. Tell us about this picture, though.
Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
That's the one.
Dropping October 30, zombie comedy. That is, at its heart, its core, it's about three men, young men that are in the middle of a friendship. It's about the nature of their friendship falling apart and then coming back together inside a zombie movie.
Hmm.
So there's also hot women. There's also, there's one boob shot. So anyway,
ooh.
Yeah. Oh, there's also a very elongated penis. I don't know. Biology's not my strong suit. Is it penis or penis?
Let's go penis. I like that.
That sounds Latin. In the Latin...
it has a flair to it.
It'd be penis, penus, punas. Us as the Latin declensions. But we are a little bit off track. I play a scout leader Rogers in that thing. It's really my story.
Mm-hmm.
A man who's has a hairpiece. It's a good-looking hairpiece.
What do you think about this? If I can make it about me for a moment.
Please do.
I'm going bald back here. Now, really, if you don't mind me saying so... It's too far gone
Chrome
for you.
Chrome dome.
Right. You've seen, remember Ron Popeil 15 years ago?
Yeah.
He had that, you could spray it onto your hair. Now they have, it looks like a salt and pepper shaker.
Yeah.
Fills in. I use it.
Why aren't you using Propecia and Rogaine?
I don't know. Well, I've heard that they affect your penis.
No, not if you've got a strong enough mind.
Oh, really? You can overcome that?
Of course.
It's like the Jedi stuff. It only works
Which,
on the weak
mind. Which,
by the
way, I'm in the new Star Wars picture.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
That's a lie, but I'm going to start spreading the rumor.
Do that one.
Here's the thing. You wouldn't know. They'd say, what part? I'm like, I was a stormtrooper.
Perfect idea. Yeah, I was in the trailer. You didn't see me?
I am.
Very clever. Let's talk about the Chiefs, though.
Chiefs.
So you, who's your biggest rival? The Chargers, the Raiders, or the Broncos?
Well,
who do you hate the most?
Well, right now, the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I wanted the Broncos to win a couple years ago against the Seahawks was because I was hoping that Manning would then retire.
Hmm.
But they were done within the first 4 minutes?
Yeah, pretty much.
That game was over.
Yeah. Do you think Peyton, have you gotten a chance to take a look at him this year? Look at that. Isn't that the best? I've said this before. I'm going to say it again to you now. The best of all referee symbols is the safety. I don't think there's a close second.
Does it actually mean this? Didn't have a prayer. Am I right, bro? This guy.
That would be a fun story to investigate the origins of all those signs.
Right.
If you were a referee and you had the signal touchdown, there's a bit of variation from ref to ref. How would you make the...
I like this one. I like mimicking the goalposts.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than like, look at me.
That's right.
Hey, fans. Isn't that... This is a little bit of... It's not about the game now.
No.
I'm refereeing.
It's about Ed Hockley or whoever's wearing that striped jersey. That's
I'm
right.
a rocket.
Dave Koechner... 15 years ago, when I first moved out here, I would go to Largo, and anytime I heard Naked Trucker and T-Bone were going to be on the stage, I would make way to go and sit there and be among the 100 lucky people that would sit in on that show, and we would tell tales around the funniest thing no one is seeing right now. And then it grew and grew and grew, and now I sit here with you, so it's a thrill for me to get the kibitz with you.
Then you eventually get a failed TV show, and then they go, hey, you're done.
Yeah, yeah. This is your chance, because I'm closing this out here right now, so if you want to start your descent or your ascent into
being a
prima donna.
I was going to knock it over to be funny. Then I thought, I don't know how fragile this is.
And he's too nice to knock a helmet off the table.
Then it turns out I'm a oh, come on, bro.
Yeah. It's not, maybe it's just not you to be a prima donna. Yeah. I love it. Take that, NFL.
Watch it.
And make sure you watch Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Coming out October 30th, unless you're a night owl and maybe they're showing the movie at the crack of midnight.
Yeah,
there.
We are. We're going to do a midnight screening.
That's
of course, Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. It's a Halloween movie. Get your ghouls on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's come out. Let's have some laughsies.
That's right. The great Dave Koechner, everybody.
Dave Koechner. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
fun fella. Like I promised, make sure you go see his movie. What a way to celebrate Halloween, you know, go and watch in the Zombie Scouts Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, starring the great Dave Koechner. And speaking of great, LeVar Arrington, Aaron Coscarelli.
Thank you, Dave.
You guys are great. And also Elliot Harrison's here. So terrific. Now, listen, what a pleasure. Make sure you watch them all 7 to 9 on the East Coast and Pacific time. But if you're up early on the Pacific, you can, or on the West Coast, you can watch them nice and early at 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. NFL HQ. They're chopping it up 5 days a week doing gangbusters work there.
It's 5 a.m.
It's close.
Wait.
5 a.m. to 7 a.m., but you know. Hey.
So 7 to 9 means 4.
No. What is it? You messed it up,
you
the,
messed
first
up the first time.
What do you mean? It's 7 to 9?
No, it's 8 to 10 Eastern.
It's 8 to 10, Shaq.
It's 8 to 10.
I said to Aaron, isn't it 7 to 9? And you said yes.
It's 8 to 10.
Don't put that on me. That's your host, Coscarelli, not Damashek. I asked
him. Taylor owner dice.
I said, is it 7 to 9? You said yes, Coscarelli. Don't let me twist.
At least we know that they're not watching the show.
You know what? I like this bit of acrimony. The next time LeVar comes in here, we're going to get to the bottom of this Ross Tucker beef from way back when. And we're going to settle this thing, but we got to get Ross Tucker to be a part of it. In the meantime, you and I know we're rooting Steelers this weekend, but come next September, the renewal of the rivalry, Beast of the East, Penn State, Pitt. Just as a little reminder, I'm going to pull your hair right now and let you see what your knit lions have in store for them. Ready? Here we go.
Find out more on the next DDFP.